look, it doesn't work for Aboriginal people. It might work for rednecks, but it doesn't work for Aboriginal people. It's just set up just to kick people out and make them homeless. Without talking to the Aboriginal people, that's the biggest issue. I'm always saying that this is not their land. Their laws, mongrel laws from England. They did that 200 years ago when they got rid of their problems and sent them to Australia without talking to the people. And they're doing the same thing to our people. They're just setting up laws and regulations that our people, it's impossible for them to live, you know? And they built Aboriginal houses, and then they listen to the next door neighbours complaint more than the Aboriginal people's complaint.
Can you tell me what sort of conditions the homeless Aboriginal people are living in?
Well, in the middle of winter last year, they just came and built over all the tin houses that they did have. We had little corrugated houses out on the community, in one of the communities, one I preach at, and in the middle of winter, they bulldozed them, and at the same time, they were kicking people out of the government housing that they created for Aboriginal people. And there's nothing. People just going back into the corrugated irons that they came out of in the 50s and 60s. You know, we're concerning their policies, we're going backwards again, and because no one's want to talk to the Aboriginal people. We've got leaders here. No one come and talk to us about how we want to live. The policies are wrong too, you know, concerning legal advice. There's no legal advice for Aboriginal people. The Homes West went there with their lawyers. But what about the Aboriginal people? You know, this 200 years of our inheritance and our birthright, where do you think they get their funds from? Where do they get their houses from? Where do they get their jobs from? It came out of our ground. This is not England. This is not the West. This is the East.
How do you help those people who are homeless? Where do you go from here in terms of trying to improve the situation for the people who don't have a home at the moment?
I think we need to take it back on the streets. We actually had dramatic protests in front of the homeless place in Kalgoorlie, but that's not enough. The only way we can overcome these racist policies is when Aboriginal people start talking and coming together. When we start, I'm also having a go at our people. We allow this to happen because we bought into their Western ideas, divide and conquer the people. Our people are divided. And the biggest weapon we have is us and unity. And if we haven't got unity amongst ourselves, well, the government can do whatever they want. And it's not their country in the first place. Our people for thousands of years were able to live in such hard conditions because of family and their culture, their way of life. You know, and we can still do that today, living in homes or living in these houses that we have, only when we are peace with one another. We have a big enemy at the end, and while we're divided and not helping one another, you know, when we done our protest, no one came. You know, our people, especially in the Gulf Hills, when they were wrong, they united together and they came and stood, you know. And we don't see that here. We're supposed to be, you know, if you call Western civilization, well, it's failing. We need to go back to our own ways and start talking for one another, you know.
That's all the questions I have. Was there anything else that you might like to add about the situation?
Well, I think that, you know, what I see here is that, you know, because we get no voice, nobody talking, you know. Only the Aboriginal people I see on TV talking is the ones that the government own, you know. These Aboriginal leaders that we have talking for us, they they grew up in the system, and they don't want to bite that system. The thing that here is that it's wrong what they are doing to our Aboriginal people. It's wrong. It's wrong, and while we need voices, united voices together. You know, of course we have differences, but we need to join hands, you know, in this issue, you know, concerning justice and righteousness for Aboriginal people. This is our land. There's no documents where they can show me that we sold and got a negotiation with the land. There's nothing. It's only just Western laws that they're shoving down our throats, you know. And I think that we need to, I wish we had fighters again. You know, people would stand up and fight. And you know, my parents and my uncles and aunties and those people gone in the past, and they were the people talking and changing policies. What about today, you know? But I would encourage these guys, we're the firstborn of this nation too, you know, we're the first. I don't care about other people, I do care about other people too, but they need to understand that Aboriginal people are the firstborn. This is our place, you know, this is ours, you know, and we need to be treated as such, you know. You know, the Bible said, you know, treat others as you treat yourself. Well, Aboriginal people are the firstborn, and, you know, especially the people need to talk to the Aboriginal people about land. You know, they want to do mining and I just want to bring this into the story here that they want to do uranium mining and all the rest of it, and the amount of accidents that we're having, and yet our people for 1,000 years told us never to go into them places where we have uranium. And now they're not even talking to us. They're just mining and doing all sorts of stuff out there. And that's wrong. And unless we come together as people, you know, as brothers and sisters, family, you know, I think this is where we will stop and make people sit up and listen, you know.
Can you just tell me a little bit about what the effects of uranium mining have been on some Indigenous communities where there's been mines built near?
You need to talk to the people in South Australia, but, you know, we have some of our people come from Maralinga, and one of the stories that they tell us about, where people were dying and things, people just getting
sick,
hanging up and dying in front of them in those days. But here, when we got these places, and we have people, during the for thousands of years, we got places where our people don't go, but now the white people here and the government of these people and the government want to stir this up, you know? It's like going and jumping in the lion cage and stirring and playing games with the lion and stirring up till they get angry and bite you, you know? And this is the same effect that will happen when we stir up the land, you know? And when we stir up the land and the things that we're not supposed to be doing, you know, it'll turn around and bite us. And I don't, but, you know, we need to be a voice, and, you know, in our courts and our laws, we were told not to do and what to do and what not to do, and they're not taking any notice. And uranium is no good for anybody. You understand that? We have no need for it in Australia, except to make a profit, which our Aboriginal people have nothing. Our people still live in third world conditions in Kalgoorlie. Yet we got the biggest mining company in the world in this town, you know. We have Western Mining and all these other mining companies, you know, BHP, then they're the biggest company here. And there are people still living in corrugated iron, and it's not even their land, it's Aboriginal land. Respect for the people and their culture, you know. they cater for non-Aboriginal people, but, you know, that's what I say, you know. You know, they're flat out spending money on black people, and of course you look after your own. But my problem with black people started 200 years ago.